Okay, let's get started.
All right. Just hang on. I'll start the recording. But do you want to? Did you want to introduce, or should I?
You do the introduction.
Okay.
You're the organizer.
All right. Welcome, Celia and Noah, to this CCNSO newcomer webinar, and welcome anyone else who will listen to the recording. Gabby, Bart, and I will take you through a short presentation, and after there will be a little time for questions. You're also welcome to interrupt if you have anything during the presentation. We will talk a little bit about how the CCNSO works and what is upcoming for Buenos Aires. Bart?
Thank you, Christina. So I want to take you through, and probably you know, how the CCNSO sits within the whole ICA multi-stakeholder model. As you see, the CCNSO is one of the three supporting organizations. The other one is the GNSO and the ASO. What makes them distinct is they can define and develop policies which will then be submitted to the board and the advisory committees, like the ADLAS, the Security Stability Advisory Committee, and the Root Server Advisory Committee, and the GAC, the Governmental Advisory Committee, do not develop policies. They react and they can advise the board, but they do not develop policies. In the case, and we'll touch upon the what it means to develop policies later on in the presentation. So this is more or less the structure of the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. Gabby, do you want to take the next slide, please?
Yeah. Hello, so this is Gabby speaking now, and I'm going to talk a little bit about who we are. First of all, we are our members, of course. Right now we have 142 members. Then we also have a council, and it's comprised by 18 councillors, three councillors per region, and then we have three more councillors that are appointed by ICANN's nominating committee. These councillors typically will not come from the CCTLD world. They will come from somewhere else so that we can also get some input and perspective on matters from outside the CCT world. Then we have one chair, and normally we have two vice chairs. Right now we have one vice chair, and that the reason is that one of our vice chairs became chair just a few months ago. So our chair right now is Byron Holland. He used to be a vice chair. And we have, as I said, just one vice chair right now. That's Keith Davidson. And we're still looking for a second vice chair, so that we will have two vice chairs soon again. And then we have us, that's the CCNSO Secretariat, and we will talk to each of these points throughout this presentation a little bit, so we'll come to the CCNSO Secretariat a little bit later. First of all, the CCNSO membership. This is how the CCNSO members are distributed at the moment. This is according to the ICANN regions. This is important to notice. They are not identical to the UN regions. So as I said, right now we have 142 members. The latest member joined us last week. That was .BG from Africa, that's Benin. And we also have all the four regional organizations are observers to us, and they are actually quite active in the work that we do. This is just to show how the CCNSO has grown during the last 10 years. You can see that we have grown with over 100 members since the start.
Okay.
I'm going to hand over to Christina now. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. As Gabby mentioned, we have a council that consists of 18 councillors, and we have three from each of the five ICANN regions, plus three NAMCOM appointees. We also have four observers from the regional organizations, and we have two liaisons from the ALAC and from the GNSO. And the secretariat consists of myself, Christina Nordström. I'm based in Sweden, and I'm in charge of the operational tasks of the CCNSO. And Bart? Do you want to introduce yourself, or Gabby?
Sorry, I was on mute. I'm Bart Boswinkel. I work from home in the Netherlands. I'm what is called in the ICANN jargon the senior policy advisor, and for your information, we're all part of what is called the policy support department that is all staff related to the GNSO at large, and all the other supporting and advisory committees are part of that same department. Yeah, that's me. And Gabby?
Yeah, so I'm Gabby, and you might have seen that I'm sending out a lot of emails to the list, and that's because one of my functions is to inform the membership on what's going on within ICANN. I'm also the first point of contact for members, so if members have any questions, they should direct them to me, and if I can't answer them, I can at least direct them to someone else who will be able to answer them. I'm also dealing with membership issues, and I'm dealing with, we have a small travel fund, which I'm dealing with, and I'm also supporting working groups and the council. Let me check. So I'm going to talk about a little bit what the CCNSO does. First of all, the CCNSO provides a platform for exchange of information and networking, and this is probably the most important role of the CCNSO. Here we provide meetings, email lists, and so on, where CCTLD operators worldwide can come, exchange information, ask their colleagues about questions, have questions to the colleagues, and do some networking. But we also represent CCTLD interests towards ICANN. So if there is an issue, we make sure that we get the relevant people to listen to us, and we represent CCTLD issues. We also do a little bit of policy development. This is not much. This is this is a function that we have, but it's not happening very often. In the last 10 years, we have just had two policy development processes. The first one was in the very beginning, and it dealt with bylaw changes. The second one we're just about to complete, and that had to do with IDN and CCTLDs. You might have heard about that. That was quite big the last few months. So we are just about to complete this. But this, as you can see, for being around for 10 years, this is not a big role of ours. We just had two policy development processes. We also do a little bit of policy-related work. That means that we, for instance, interpret existing policies so that we can work with that. And we also advise other SOs and ACs on policy-related issues. An example would be WHOIS. WHOIS is nothing that the CCNSO really, it's not in the scope of the CCNSO to deal with, because for our CCTLDs, WHOIS would fall under national law. However, there are quite elaborate policies around WHOIS issues in most countries, and for instance, the GTLDs are very interested in learning from the CCs what they're doing. So we are very often advising on the policy-related work, but we have a very limited policy role. The CCNSO Council really just has two main roles, that's administrative and representative. The administrative role means that they keep track of our work plan, they set the directions where we should go, they come up with strategies, and they basically lead the CCNSO in what direction it should go. Secondly, it has a representative role that represents the CCNSO towards, for instance, the ICANN board or the GAC. And this differs a lot from, for instance, what the GNSO Council looks like. So you can see the GNSO Council actually is very involved in setting the policies, whilst the CCNSO Council really is just has this administrative and representative role. Whilst what do the members do? Well, they have a direct capability of actually influencing the CCNSO. First of all, the CCNSO elects councillors. We actually have a nomination period just finished right now, and there are going to be elections to the CCNSO Council soon. As you might have remember from the first slides, that we have three councillors from each region on the council. So we're just going to appoint councillors in these elections. From the first slide, you might remember that the CCNSO appoints two ICANN board members. So the CCNSO selects two of the ICANN board members. When there is a policy development process, the CCNSO members actually have the final vote. So the members must agree on the suggested policy development process. And if needed, the members actually have the power to overrun a council resolution. And this has never happened, but it has. If it doesn't like a council resolution, the members can actually have a final vote on this. So you can see that the power in the CCNSO actually lies with the membership instead of with the council, which differs from other SOs and ACs. Now I'm going to hand over now.
Thank you. Okay, so how does the CCNSO organize its work? We've already talked a bit about this. We have the council. They have a face-to-face meeting at every ICANN event. And in between, we have monthly telephone conferences. And at the CCNSO meeting, we have a two-day event. So the CCNSO meets for 2 days at every ICANN meeting, and discusses a diversity of topics, and several people give presentations, and we have, sometimes we change the format a little bit, but usually the structure is about the same. We have a panel discussion on the Wednesday with a certain theme, and people can give presentations about what's going on in their region. And then we have the Tech Day on Monday, and that's a one-day event. It used to be a CCNSO event, but the chair and the Tech Day committee has opened up to the entire internet community, so it's now open for anyone. And sometimes the topics are a bit similar to what's discussed at the CCNSO meeting, but it's usually from a more technical point of view. And at the ICANN meetings, the working groups meet as well. They meet face-to-face, and in between they also have conference calls. It varies a bit how often. Some meet every other month, and some meet every other week, so it's very different. So a bit more about the working groups. We now have about 9 more or less active groups. We recently had a lot more, but several of them have just recently closed, and other groups are on the verge of opening up, so we're a little bit in between here. We have some permanent groups, the Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group, that gives input to the ICANN Strategic and Operational Plan. And we have the FOI working group that deals with delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. And so how does it work to join a working group? You can volunteer. There is a call for volunteers from the CCNSO Secretariat. And when you volunteer, you are approved by the council to join the group. And once the group is formed, you set a scope, and that scope is defined in the charter, and once the charter is set, you can start your work. And then the group starts its work, and once a report is done, it's presented to the council, and once approved by the council, it's shared by the full community. We also have some cross-community working groups, such as the DSSA group that deals with various security issues. It's about to be closed. And we have the JIG group that has dealt for a long time with internationalized domain names. And this is Bart. Bart, are you on mute?
Oh, sorry, I always forget. Again, as I said in the introduction, one of the roles of the decision is always to develop policy, in contrast to the GNSO, the scope for policies is very, very limited. The policies do not, and this is defined in the ICANN bylaws, Annex C, and that's dealing with the scope of issues that the policy can be developed for. One of, say, for example, WHOIS, which is a major issue within the GNSO and in the broader community, the CCNSO itself does not have a role to define a policy for the CCTLD community. WHOIS, for example, is developed at a national level, so that's per CCTLD. There are common threats there, but it is a national issue. So that's one of the most distinguishing factors between the CCNSO and the GNSO, and causes quite some misunderstanding. It's predefined in the ICANN laws, the process itself, and there is a graphical representation, so if you have time, you can find this graphical representation on the CCNSO website, and as you will run through it, you'll see it's a very complicated process, and that's one of the reasons why the CCNSO tries to avoid the use of it as much as possible, because it can be very drawn out. Say the Gabi referred to the IDM PDP. The IDM PDP has taken 6 years. It's not just because it's a long drawn process, but it has taken 6 years and it's still not completed. It's now at the level of the board vote, so that's the top layer, and then it goes into implementation. As moving on, say, it's not just working groups. We also use study groups, which are, in effect, a lightweight version of working groups. It's a lightweight charter. They advise to the council, and they're more research-focused. So they come up with the recommendations they make is to take further work and prepare some of the the groundwork for the actual work for policy-related work. A good example is the study group for on the use of country and territory names. They've just published their final report, and the CCNSO Council adopted their recommendation to start to create a follow-up real working group, and this will be a cross-community working group as. And this is one of the working groups that Gabi alluded to, or say new work coming our way. Then we have CCNSO Council committees. These are, again, administrative focus. They report to the council, and the members are council members, and they deal with, say, updating guidelines, etc. Then we have, and again, this is a process that's documented, and you can find the guidelines on the CCNSO website for the CCNSO statement and position papers. There's a distinction here between a CCNSO council statement or a CCNSO statement, and CC&SO statement means council and members. And the real difference is that the members have to endorse the statement as well, and then it comes out as a CC&SO statement. To the outside world, the difference is not really clear, probably because they do not understand the difference between the CC&SO and the CC&SO Council, but CC&SO is Council plus members. The way it works is a drafting team will be created. They do the initial drafting, and they will submit their, say, their draft to the council. The council will have a look at it, and then go to the membership for adoption, and again for a refinement of the draft. And the CC&SO statement and position papers are most of the time response to requests from the board or other SOs or ACs, and input into public consultations. As Christina said, one of the things the CC&SO Council does is the administrative role, and it includes the work plan and prioritization of the work of the CC&SO. Now, the work plan, there are three versions currently, and all have a different perspective on the workload. There is a monthly update. There is a mind map that, say, shows the different, and it's easy to recognize and easy to follow. And there is a Gantt chart view of it, so that's more of a project management view with and a little bit of resources. And what this one shows is that, say, the CC&SO, at least, say, until recently, was at full capacity, assuming that, say, people will put in around 2 or 3 hours a week for CC&SO and ICANN-related matters. All these guidelines, and including the work plan, etc., can be found at this link. Now, given the work plan and say, the capacity of the volunteers, the CC&SO decided to start working on prioritization, and that's balancing the workload, and in order to balance the workload and the availability and of the volunteers. The CC&SO uses, in effect, a very simple model. It's based on importance and urgency of a recommendation of a work item, and then balancing it off against the capacity needed and available. And this is done by the CC&SO Council. In preparation of this, part of this prioritization is the CC&SO Council Triage Committee. The Triage Committee, supported by Gabi, advise the council whether to take on a work item or not. And on the CC&SO website, you will see a full list of all the recommendations. And in some cases, the CC&SO council takes on they've always followed the recommendations, and in some cases, the CC&SO has taken on some work items as recommended, and in some cases it didn't pursue a work item, again, as recommended. Now, this one, Christina or Gabi, you want to take this, or you want me to do this?
Okay, this time I was on mute. I can do this. So, in Buenos Aires, we will have a tech day, as usual. And it will be in La Pampa. This is the room name. And if you have found this room, you have found the CC&SO, because we will have the CC&SO meeting in this room as well. And the CC&SO meeting will be on Tuesday and Wednesday. Among other things, we will have a panel discussion about internet governance, a session on stability and security. We will have the FOI working group talking about their work on revocation of CCTLD delegations. And the finance working group will talk about their work on financial contributions. This is just some suggestions some examples of what's coming. You can find the entire agenda at the CCNSO meetings page. I will show you that in just a couple of minutes. And of course, the various working groups will meet face-to-face as well. Okay, I will now try to share my screen and show you what it looks like on the CCNSO website. Just a second. It doesn't work. Okay, unfortunately it doesn't work because they're telling me I need to adjust some settings. But if you go to the CCNSO website, there is a meeting tab in the left map, and if you click on that, it's pretty straightforward. It will take you to the Buenos Aires meeting, and you can find the agenda, you can find page for the tech day. You will find the minister after the meeting, and you will find the presentations and some room and time information. So I'm sorry about that technical issue. But just go to cnso.icann.org and you will probably find your way. In Buenos Aires, we will also have a cocktail. It will be on Tuesday night. On 19th November, it will be from 7 to 10, and the venue is Madeira Tango, and you're welcome to join. Thank you, Noah, for pasting the link in the chat. I wanted to mention that we have some social media tools. We have a Twitter account, and we have a YouTube channel. We also have a Facebook page and a photo stream on Flickr. So if you go to the CCNSO website, you will be able to find links to all of this on the first page. So feel free to check out our social media tools. And if you have any questions at any time, you can contact us. It's CCNSO secretariat at icann.org. Gabriela Chitek@icann.org, and my email address is missing there. It's christina.nordstrom@icann.org. So do you have any questions right now? Feel free to ask them. Celia, you have raised your hand. Are you able to speak? Or if not, you can write in the chat. Okay, you're right.
Christina, you want to take the question? Yes.
Yeah, I can say something, and if you want to say something, I find it hard to answer how technical it is. It's very focused on technical. If you give a presentation, the chair has as a rule that it has to be from a technical point of view, and then of course it differs a little bit on how technical it is. But it's from that angle. And yes, the agenda will be posted. If you go to the CCNSO calendar, you will be able to find the agendas. Sometimes they're posted right on the calendar. Sometimes there is a link on the calendar that takes you somewhere else. But basically, as a rule, if you go to the CCNSO calendar that you can find on the CCNSO homepage, you will find the agenda. And if you go into the meeting page that I described earlier and that Noah sent a link for, you will be able to find a specific page for the Tech Day. That page hasn't been updated yet because we haven't received the agenda yet. But there will be presentations from Tech Day, there will be the agenda, and there will be audio and so on.
Ah, Celia,
okay.
Found it.
Yeah.
Maybe the question from Noah is, so CCNSO discuss mainly technical issues and not policy-related issues. No, that's the short answer. If you put it this way, the Tech Day is technical operational of focus. The CCNSO meetings day is more of a business policy-related focus. Say, if you would go to, say, the current agenda, and I think the slide Christina talked to around the agenda is a very good indication of what you will find at the CCNSO meeting. It's a discussion roundtable around the internet governance issues in relation to the Montevideo statement of the ISTAR organizations. It is a discussion around capacity building across regions. There will be a discussion on what is called the framework of interpretation, but that's the CCTL, the revocation of CCTLDs. So that's very much a policy-related issue, like it deals with the interpretation of the current policy on delegation and redelegations of CCTLDs. So, that's one of the major that's why there is sometimes overlap in the Tech Day and the CCNSO Day. CCNSO Tech Day or the Tech Day is more a technical operational view of topics, and the CCNSO meeting itself is more a business policy legal view of the topics and themes. Does this answer your question? Go ahead, Celia.
I can reply to that. Celia, the regional organizations, they have an observer status. This means that the regional organization managers are actually on the, for instance, they are on subscribed to our email list, but also they are also involved in the council. So the regional organization managers are invited to all council meetings, and they're also invited to working groups, which often are only for councillors, for instance. So they are quite active, actually, and we value them a lot with their input a lot. So their formal status is that they're observers, but they are actually encouraged to be very active, and they are very active.
And maybe, Celia, and for the others to understand this, what you will see, there is a huge overlap between the membership of the regional organizations and of the CCNSO. If you would look at the different member or the different regions. For example, in the Latin America region, I would say 90%, at least from the Latin American, not excluding the Caribbean, but the Latin American CCTLDs are both member of the CCNSO and of LACTLD. So, and that's one of the reasons. And in addition to what Gabi said, the regional organizations do have a specific role in policy development processes as well.
Actually, I think for the Latin American region, there's just one CCTLD that is Black TLD member, but not CCNSO member, unless this has changed recently, but that's the last time I heard about that. So they are very, very active and involved and very valued.
Yeah. And the next question from Noah is, will the scope of work of the CCNSO change with the new introduction of the new GTLDs? Again, the short answer is no. To date, and to give you a bit more of background, what is interesting is that some GTLD registries also run CCTLD registries. The main ones are Afilias and VeriSign. And as CCTLDs, some are even member of the CCNSO. So from that perspective, there is no real issue. If you look, again, the scope and the policy scope of the CCNSO is defined in the ICANN bylaws in Annex C. And again, it is very limited. Now, on the other side, and this is a distinction as well, if you would look at, say, we do have the process of new CCTLDs. One is if there is a new, say, if a country code is put on the ISO 3166 list, then it is eligible for a CCTLD. And we have seen some examples in the past, but this is more, this is a reflection of the geopolitical changes in the world. Then we have something called IDN CCTLDs, so that is gradually growing as well, but again, that's very limited. So the real growth is new GTLDs, so at first, the new GTLDs will be focusing on the GNSO, and they need to sit into the GNSO, and probably as currently the GTLDs and registrar community, the GTLD registrar community learns from what is happening in CC land, it will happen in the future as well with all the new GTLDs. Sira, you have another question? Gabi, you want to answer? Siri asks, is there CCNSO activity on Sunday during the ICANN meetings?
On Sunday, we normally have working group meetings. If you go to the CCNSO calendar, which is on the first page of the CCNSO page, you will see all working group activities listed there. So that's nothing. No official activities for everyone. It's just small working group activities.
And say once a year, and it used to be more often, but once a year, and that's say the first ICANN meeting in a calendar year. So in this case, the Singapore meeting, the CCNSO Council has a workshop on Sunday. Any more questions? Noah, any questions from you? And from guest 9.1, I don't know who it is, but... Okay, then thank you very much for attending, and I hope it was helpful and educating, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in Buenos Aires. And we all are.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.